Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug and I love movies. I thought it would be kind of a mellow one today because we are at Fantastic Fest hanging out in the Highball, which is the bar attached to the Alamo Drafthouse South Lamar location in Austin, Texas. See, that's how you get them going. But you guys could tell that you guys are a mellow crowd, though, because normally just mentioning Texas in front of Texans gets a much bigger reaction than that. And I'm not judging. I'm just pointing it out. Yeah, thank you so much for coming out for this happy hour edition of Doug Loves Movies. I think I already mentioned most of the stuff I've got written here on this piece of paper. Oh, it's Friday, September 25th, 2015. Yeah, and I know a lot of you guys have festival badges, but some of you must have also brought some sort of name tag, so may I see those briefly? Dude, where's my Carla? And I think that's me saying that. So that's offensive. And Metropolis got changed to Metropol Chris? Okay. And Keith's right up front with what? A.B. Keith's of Death. Have you done that one before? Sounds familiar. But you did a great job, Keith, and thanks for contributing to the prize bag. I got something from him. I love the flashlights on your signs. Well, it's good to know that some people brought some. Thanks, you can put them down now, and good luck to everybody in being chosen. I think it's a pretty good prize bag today. I don't know about you guys, but I'm here for the entire festival, all of Fantastic Fest. And next Wednesday, September 30th, I'm doing a Benson movie interruption of Roar, one of the most fucked up movies ever made that Tim League fell in love with and made sure that the world got to see more of. And I'm also screening my movie, which, you know, that's how cool Tim League is. I'm pretty sure he hasn't seen it at all, but it's going to play here in the festival at midnight next Wednesday. And, you know, it's about Comic-Con, so that fits into Fantastic Fest. But it's hard to get my documentaries into film festivals because they're the most stress-free and incident-lacking documentaries of all time. My next stop on my world tour is Toronto, California for the Just for Laughs Festival on Saturday, October 3rd. I'm doing a Doug Loves Movies, and then I get to sit on the couch and be therapied. Is that the right word for it? I'm going to be therapied by Dr. Katz from the famed cartoon show, Jonathan Katz, is going to be there. On Sunday, October 4th, I'm doing stand-up at 420 at Helium Comedy Club. It's a gas in Buffalo, New York. And after that, I'll be at Hell Yeah Fest, a very positively named festival in New Orleans. DougLovesMovies.com for all the dates and deets that you need for all my upcoming shows. I got to plug in my iPhone because I have a sneaking suspicion. The new iPhone came out today, right? And mine this week just took a complete shit and it does not hold a charge at all. I have to be plugged in just to use the phone. So that's a... They're just getting me to get the new one, right? Your phone's working? Yeah, barely. Marvin Martian. My phone's barely working. That is not lovely. All right, here we go. Boom, I'm plugged in. Thank you very much. The prize bag today is, I was just on At Midnight a few days ago, so I brought a nice, almost called it leather. Yes, I brought a leather bag that they give you when you do At Midnight. Last night they had a opening night party at Fantastic Fest, and the opening night film that they had the premiere of was called February. So I don't, it's kind of a leap there, but they decided that the opening night party should be Christmas themed because they were showing the film February. Yeah, that's Fantastic Fest for you. Yeah, I guess you can't really build, you know, February. What are you going to do? Have a fun party about Black History Month? Which actually would be. I'll suggest that for another time. But they, for some reason, dropped a bunch of balloons during the party that included, it's deflated now, but when you blow this up, it looks like a turkey. So I put that in the prize bag because that's not the kind of thing I'm going to fly home with. And then we've got a shirt from a Cafe Ruckus, Keith Ruckus's place that he's clapping for it. right here in Austin, Texas, opened in 2013. And it's going strong. Good strong coffee. People love it. What's the street address, Keith? 209 West. Come on, you know it. You got this. You got this. 209 West 2nd. Yeah, yeah. Go check it out, you guys. Cafe Ruckus. The nice folks from Chameleon Cold Brew Espresso Coffee gave me something that I'll never drink, so I put that in the prize bag. I tasted it though, and it's you know, it tastes like espresso, but they told me it didn't have any sugar in it, so I like that. We got a copy of my CD, Professional Tool, and the promotional, not professional. But that would apply too. I'm a professional tool. And then whose CD is this? I don't know. It's just called Dank, but I don't know who the comedian is. I can't make him out. But that's from a Special Thing Records. And boy, I just got so much stuff in here. Oh, a shirt from our friends at Chameleon Glass. And from my hotel room, again, something I'm not going to enjoy myself, so I put it in the bag. They gave me some trail mix, and it's called Austin Nuts. Are they good? All right. Keep it weird. My Austin Nuts are going in the bag, and all this other stuff, plus what my guests brought. But before I bring my guests out, I saw a friend of mine wandering around outside, and he's waiting for... He can't be here for the whole show because he's going to go see a movie. Well, he can tell us about it when he gets out here. Let's have a big warm welcome for Kumail Nanjiani, everybody. Kumail, get up here.
Hello. Goodness. You said I was wandering around outside.
You were talking on the phone, actually, and I knew my show had to start in a little bit, and I didn't want to interrupt your phone call. But I also wanted you to get off the goddamn phone so I could ask you to do this, and thank you for doing it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Describing me like a derelict. I just saw Kumail wandering the streets of Austin. Do you want to be on my show?
Well, that's what you do when you're in Austin, right? You just wander the streets.
It's a good wandering streets down.
But it's raining pretty heavily outside. And before the show started, we had a building-wide power outage for a second or two. So we're hoping that doesn't happen again.
Because movies only run on electricity. You can't have a guy just describing, okay, John C. Reilly, the credits roll, then John C. Reilly.
I heard for Anomalisa, which I just saw, that they have all the puppets standing by and they could just perform it that way if need be.
Is that good? Did you like it?
It is the weirdest. I can't even begin to process how I feel about the movie, but it was certainly worth seeing and fascinating throughout, but also a strange and kind of unsettling experience.
Is it one of those, like, when you're done, sometimes you finish a movie and you're like, I get it. And sometimes you're like, what was that? Which one was this?
It was, I get it? What was that? Like, it had certainly strong elements of each. Like, but also the Q&A, I only saw the first few questions, but that sort of already kind of answered some of my questions. Because there's things that you can't watch the whole movie and then afterwards not wonder about. And they're happy to explain them. It's not like they made one of those movies where, you know, like David Lynch or somebody, the last thing he's going to do is tell you exactly why something happens. Or if he does tell you, it's the reason doesn't make any sense at all. You know, these guys, they knew what they were doing, and they said, this is why we did it. And I went, okay.
Okay.
I like that.
Because sometimes that can be frustrating, like when Ridley Scott recently was like, oh, yeah, Blade Runner, he was a replicant. And you're like, come on, don't tell us that. Leave that for us.
It's the weirdest thing about it for me is I couldn't stop thinking of Team America World Police while watching it. Because it's you know, it's puppetry is going on and it's but it's kind of it's more of a drama.
It is. It's not
a drama with puppets.
It's not whimsical.
It's got humor, and it's got humor that you and anyone else who travels a lot will totally appreciate. It's got hotel room humor. It's got stuff that happens at hotels that you go, yes, of course.
Does it have airplane
that
humor?
Happens.
Airplane food humor?
No. They do have cute little airplanes, though, that take off and land in the movie. Like, they do establishing shots and stuff. Like, they do it all, but with, you know, animated miniatures that have to be moved by hand by, like, 14 people that made this movie over a two-year period.
And was Charlie Kaufman?
I'll take any questions you have about a film that I did not have anything to do with.
Was Charlie Kaufman there?
Yes, and he spoke afterwards along with his co-director, who was more the animation side of it, I assume. Yeah. And when they'd pass him the microphone, he'd answer pretty briefly and then pass the microphone away.
Sure.
So that's why we were not able to secure him to be a guest on Doug Loves Movies today, which was, of course, attempted because the guy's a movie genius, you know, adaptation and being John Malkovich. I see a
Eternal
small door.
Sunshine.
I see a small door anywhere. I go, oh, John Cusack's office. I say that every single time. Because of that movie. So, it would have been lovely to have him, but he's just not talking about, you know, he's doing the one Q&A that he has to do to promote this odd movie that Paramount picked up and is, they don't really have anything that's a big awards contender, so they're going for it. They're going to try to get, like, best picture, best screenplay,
oh, wow.
best animated movie, and in all cases, it'll be interesting to see if they pull it off because it is a weird movie.
Did you just walk up to Charlie Kaufman and were like, "I do a podcast. This is what podcasts are."
Well, that's why I was surprised. I was surprised that he said no because I went up to him and went, "Hey, man!" No, I didn't talk to him at all.
You saw a small door. That's John Cusack's office, anyway. Not that we have a rapport going.
No, a very attractive publicist, or actually her position's higher than publicist at Paramount, did the asking, and he said no. So I don't think he likes doing this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't like me. That could be it.
I don't think, I would be very surprised if he really knows any of us exist. In the sense that we're not in his reality, I don't think. We're not in his world.
Well, certainly podcasting doesn't come up at all in Emilisa. But you know what does come up in it?
Airplanes?
An explanation of why it's called Anomalisa.
Is it?
Good. It's good. It's one of the better. You know how most movies, like, yeah, okay, I get it. It's called Larry Crown because you have no. You ran out of. All your creative juices were spent writing the screenplay. And when it came time to name it, you're like, this is the name of Larry Crown.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did Forrest Gump. That worked out okay. It was great when I played the title role in Philadelphia. So let's just call this one Larry Crown.
Yeah. John Carter was a good one.
Right. Well, they took off the Of Mars. They got rid of that, which would have been a good clue that you're in for an insane movie.
Yeah. It's a shirtless guy on Mars fighting lizard people, and it's called John Carter. Great. Great work.
So what are you about to go see that keeps you from joining us for fun and games?
I'm going to go see a movie called Tale of Tales. John C. Reilly is in it.
Okay, I'm there right there. That's all you got to say.
It's like a fantasy anthology from what I don't want to read too much. I just want to read enough to be like, all right, that's the one I want to see. So I'm going to see that one. Then I'm going to see the secret screening, which is going to be great. I don't know what it is. Someone's laughing like
everybody,
he knows.
Everybody thinks they know what it is.
Are they right, probably?
I think so.
They're probably right.
I think it's
so
legit.
So it's exciting. I'm very excited about it. But yeah, I'm going to see like 5 movies a day over the next couple days.
That's my plan.
The hardest part is that the food in there is so good. So I also end up having
You have a meal at five times. Yeah.
5 meals. Creme brulee, French toast.
Or something, because it's just exciting to be able to order stuff. It's like saying no to the in-flight food, you know? It's like not... On the plane, the food's not that great, but at least, you know, it's something to do, and you're excited to participate.
Yeah, I'm going to...
It's like you're flying the plane.
I'm going to start with creme brulee French toast, then I'm going to do a snack, then I'm going to do a burger, then I'm going to do a full dinner, and I'm going to close it with creme brulee French toast. Just to, like, give it the circular structure.
Can I give you a little life hack when you're ordering food here at the Alamo Drafthouse?
Please.
Since you are having so many meals, they'll let you ask for stuff from the kids' menu even if you're not a kid. So you can get like a smaller version of like the chicken strips and fries.
Why would I want a smaller version?
Okay, so you're saying you're going to get the 5 meals and you don't mind how huge they are.
No, I honestly have been planning for this weekend. This is very nerdy, but for a few weeks I was like, I'm going to be super healthy. I'm going to be careful about what I eat. And then I'm going to eat 2 creme brulee French toasts tomorrow. And a huge adult-sized chicken strip, because that's what I am, Doug. I'm a fucking grown-up.
It's Texas. They're still pretty big, even the child's portion.
Yeah. A child portion in Austin is 2 adults in L.A.
Yeah. So that's... for everybody else, that's my little tip to you. I didn't know you could just order off a kid's menu. You try that in a restaurant. They really give you the hairy eyeball.
Yeah. Here, I mean...
I want a goddamn Happy Meal.
Sir, this is Burger King.
Yeah. what else are you excited to see, Kumail, while you're at the festival?
I'm really excited about this movie called Evolution. That sounds awesome. And I'm really excited to see The Witch. That's the last movie I'm going to see.
The Witch.
The Witch is a movie. It's about a witch, and she's a witch. And the preview, it's not one of those where you're like, is she a witch? Is she not a witch? What's this about? In the preview, it starts with her killing a baby, rubbing the blood on a broomstick and flying on it. So you're like, oh, this is a real fucking witch.
Straight up witch.
This isn't like...
Like full-blown witch.
Yeah, she's got full-blown Z's witchcraft. It's not like a fucking sociological comment on the Salem witch trials. I don't need any more of that. I know how to feel about it. They were terrible to those women. This woman is a witch.
That's what confused them when they went to do the trials, is that, you know, one of them could really be a witch. They could really be on to something.
I mean, I kind of see their point, because it's like, you don't want even one witch, so better to kill everyone than have one witch.
What if it turned out the only way you could kill a witch is by drowning them? And then they're drowning all these witches, but that are probably not witches, but even the ones that are drowning, so they assume they're right every time.
I think that's exactly what happened.
That's really what happened?
I think it was like, I think it was, from what I remember, witches can't drown. So if you're innocent, you drown, and they're like, oh, well, we fucked that up. And if someone doesn't drown, then they shoot him because she's a witch. But everybody drowned. I made that up. I don't know how they did it.
That sounded so legit.
It is something like that, right?
I think I've heard something like that.
It was something like that. She's giving me the thumbs up.
Yeah. I don't know if they think you're a witch, you're dead either way. Because also, you know, how do they back down from that? Oh, sorry about the witch thing.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Sorry about trying to drown you.
Huge misstep.
Yeah.
We'll give you CPR. Oh, wait, we don't know CPR yet. They didn't know CPR back then. That's what you have to know going into that joke.
So Sunday night in this very space, you are going to have to miss a movie or two on that day.
Yeah.
Because you are going to do, for the second year in a row, a performance of The Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail right here on this very stage.
Yeah. It's going to be great. We had a great time last year. Doug, you're going to come talk to...
I'll come do a little time on stage, and you got a couple other comics lined up, and it should be a pretty fun show.
Yeah, and Jonah and I are both going to do individual stand-up sets, so it's just going to be a great time. And right now, I feel fresh and excited, and in 2 days, I'll be a shadow of my former self. I'll have eaten many adult chicken strip meals. So you will see me... at the end of my rope, but it'll be fun.
And you'll see him on various parts of the rope over the next few days, hanging out here at the festival. Who here snuck in tonight? Didn't sneak in, but who came in without a festival badge, just came by just for this? Lots of people. Okay, great. So what's the ruling on Sunday? Can they do that then as well?
Yes. This guy knows.
Yeah, Keith says anybody can come in and enjoy
the
show
in.
Sunday.
Yeah, so just come in. It's a free show. You don't need a pass or anything. Just come in, hang out, have fun, say hi afterwards, run out of things to say.
Please, run out of things to say.
Yes, please run out of things to say when you're talking to me afterwards, because I'm a busy guy. That would be great if you're in a bad conversation. You just point at them and be like, run out of things to say. Are we done?
It's time, yeah. No, it's everybody here is so nice and has just the right amount of things to say, and we look forward to watching you wandering around the streets of Austin. Kumail Nanjiani, everybody!
Thank you.
Go enjoy your goddamn movie. Make me sick. Just turn on him now that he's gone. Tale of tales. That can't possibly be good. All right, you guys, let's get my real guests out here. Please give a big warm welcome to John Smith, John Erler, and Chris Cubis. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Doug.
Welcome to the show. I feel like Bill Maher's show, the way I interviewed one person for a little while. Now let's see our panel.
That clock kid really had it coming. Did Bill Maher say that?
Fuck that shit. Bill Maher was both ways on the clock kid. He said that the clock kid,
he said he was very smart and
you know, shouldn't be in trouble for making a clock, but that also he shouldn't wonder why everyone thought it was a bomb. Which, whatever. I mean, it's a quick little jump to judgment, especially when they're saying it looks like a movie bomb. You know, it looks like from Die Hard or, you know, Lethal Weapon or something.
A cartoon.
And it's like, well, then why do you think it's a real bomb if you describe it as a movie bomb? Am I right?
Yeah.
That's a good point, Doug.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it counting backwards or was it just a regular clock? Like,
yeah,
that
right?
should be the clue, I think.
Was it beeping with each second so you know exactly what's going on? And when you look away from it, did a strange amount of time pass? But when you look back, it wasn't quite. It never syncs up. I'm watching a movie right now where somebody says something about, you know, it'll take 2 minutes, time me. And I want to go back and watch that scene because at one point. at one point, the guy goes, "Your 2 minutes is up," and I want to watch that scene again and see how long it was.
Are you you're great currently story. Watching this movie?
Yeah, I'm in the Netflixing right. it, and I had to stop it because I had other things to do. I had to come to a movie festival, watch movies, and do a podcast where I talk about movies.
Whenever I watch a movie where someone has to swim underwater, I try to hold my breath to see if I'll make it. Here's the really sad part. I cheat all the time by myself if I'm just watching Big Trouble in Little China or something and I gotta swim through that tunnel. I'm just like sneaking, breathing through my nose.
Smoking weed. Yeah, I get it. I was told by Jeff Tate that Tom Cruise is underwater for like... Because he went back to see Mission Impossible 5 Rogue Nation again. And I said, do me a favor and time how long Tom Cruise is underwater. And I think it turned out to be like 5 minutes or some ridiculous, some impossible amount of time for him to just hold his breath and swim around.
All but of his own stunts, though.
Yeah, but let's meet all of our guests, you guys. They're on the end, just spoke just now. Please give it up for John W. Smith, everybody.
Thank you.
The W is silent.
W.
Hi, Doug.
What does the W stand for? Have I asked you that before?
No, it stands for Walter.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's a name.
It's a perfect place for it in the middle slot.
It'll do.
You don't see a lot of young Walters.
Not anymore, no. Yeah. Walter.
Oh, look at
Koenig.
That little 10-year-old Walter.
Walter.
What?
Who's the youngest Walter?
Who is? You mean Benjamin Button? Who are you talking about?
Yeah. I don't know any Walters.
Yeah, there you go. And you are, what's your title here at the festival?
I've got like three or four of them. I'm the creative manager here at the Austin Alamo.
There you go.
I booked some of the movies people watch.
Beverages are coming.
And beverages are
coming.
Was
that John's beverage? John, give John that beverage.
I already had a beverage.
John.
I will take this one for later. Oh. Thank
you. All right.
Thank you, Riley.
I ordered that
because he ordered one there.
What a guy. No, it's fine. I'll get to it. Don't worry.
Okay. That doesn't seem like...
I guess we need
John
a third
wants
one.
That one.
That was for me, right?
This
that
one's
was
for
his?
You?
That was for me.
That's his.
Let's get confirmation.
That wasn't your backup beer. That
are
was his original beer.
This beer? All right.
That's his straight up first beer.
We're good.
Doug loves beverage.
Especially Tito Beverage is my favorite person who makes vodka, and his last name is actually Beverage. Only in Austin, man. Only in Austin. And there you go. There's your backup.
Thank you.
Can I get a backup?
Here you go, John Erler. Can I get a backup Tito's and soda, please? Backups for all of my friends.
Wiley, I'll have two more. Thank you.
And
anyway.
Yeah,
so I book movies here at the Alamo.
Yeah, yeah, and you also, I got to see you on Wednesday night, as you do every Wednesday night here at the Highball, run a pub quiz. Doesn't sound like the right expression for it.
No, it's a, it's a trivia night, pub quiz, whatever you want to call it. It's called Geeks Who Drink. They do it all over the country, something like 30, 35 states. I've been doing it here at the Highball for, be 6 years in January.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the longest relationship of my life.
With trivia.
Yeah. I've been married for 10 years, but I don't count that. Do it all over the place. Shit, I've already spilled the beer. Wiley, we need another.
I'll take that one.
Yeah. No, yeah. 8-round quiz, Wednesday nights. We're kind of
thank
in
you,
the
Wiley.
Scenery here. Thank you.
I know, I know two people named Wiley in this town.
Is the other one a coyote by any chance?
That's John Erler, everybody, of Moto Panakeku.
What?
Master Pancake, the comedy troupe that takes down, that no movie is unmockable or safe.
Sacred.
You got one coming up this weekend?
We are doing Jurassic Park this weekend in honor of September. Here at the Alamo Draft House.
Septemberg.
We're celebrating the work and oeuvre of Steven Spielberg all month.
Mm-hmm.
So we just finished mocking Raiders of the Lost Ark.
How was that?
What is that tone in your voice?
That it's such a great movie and so much fun to watch that, like, you know, just making jokes throughout, could annoy the fans.
I know. I had that same worry, and people kept coming up to us and asking us, how can you do Raiders of the Lost Ark? And my response is just, I just am tired of making fun of Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey. I just need a break. We're going to make fun of a good movie. We're just going to watch it and make a couple jokes, and I hope that's okay with everybody.
There's still things to make jokes about, and yes.
There's a lot of continuity here.
As Dana Gould pointed out recently on the show, Indiana Jones accomplishes nothing in that movie.
He's terrible.
His presence isn't even needed at the finale. The Nazis could just open it up and all burn to death, and Indiana Jones doesn't have to even need be nearby. And he knew that was what was going to happen when they opened it, and he could have just kept his stupid mouth shut. That's Dana Gould's theory, not mine, but I agree.
It's absolutely true. Also, he's a terrible archaeologist. He's unethical. He steals treasures from indigenous people, doesn't give it back to them, and then he loses that treasure to a smarter Frenchman, which is not cool. So he's unethical and incompetent.
That man with the beret over there got really burnt by that comment, John.
Sorry, Frenchie. That's not a beret.
That made it all better.
Same thing.
When you insult a Frenchman, call him, say, sorry, Frenchie, and they are totally back in business.
That's a Newsies cap. That's not a beret.
Same difference.
No, it's worse than a beret.
Yeah. It's definitely worse.
I'm sorry. Somebody had to say it. This is an intervention, Frenchie.
It's a child's beret. It's a child's beret.
It's an intervention.
And Chris Cubis is here, everybody!
You can definitely go the wrong way. We on Movies People Like and Making Jokes to Him, we interrupted Labyrinth in Kansas City, and a lot of people showed up not knowing it was an interruption.
Right, and just happy to see their favorite.
People were angry that we were making fun of Labyrinth, and I was like, have you seen David Bowie's cock? Because it's pointing me, it's poking me in the eye like it's 3D right now. There's stuff to make fun of in this movie.
Yeah. No, I think almost any like heavy, heavy dramas, most of them you probably wouldn't want to get into, but most all other movies, I think, especially if everybody's seen it before, if it's a classic or whatever, why not?
Yeah, have some fun. You've seen it already. I'm not spoiling shit.
Yeah. Just don't do Sophie's Choice. Or would be an example.
Well.
Schindler's List.
Yeah, that's the classic example. I tried to do something different and then still landed on Holocaust. Still, that's still the number one most depressing thing you can feature in a film, I guess, right? What about Life is Beautiful? Can we make fun of Life is Beautiful?
No, because that's a Holocaust movie and a comedy, so that's like two strikes right there.
Right, but so much of the comedy isn't funny. It's just him falling down and shit.
Have you ever mocked a comedy? Like we at Master Pancake generally shy away from that just because even if it's a terrible comedy, it's probably hard to make fun of a movie that's making jokes itself. So we've never,
done it?
We've done Home Alone. That's probably the closest thing to a comedy that we've done.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Or Back to the Future. Like Back to the Future has some funny parts.
It's like an action comedy.
Breakfast Club?
Is that a comedy?
I think so.
There's some funny moments
I think it's supposed to be. Ferris Bueller?
No, we wouldn't. No. Never do that.
Are we just naming movies?
Name some more movies.
Deciding if they're comedies or not?
Yeah.
People came to see this?
It's time for my new game, Comedy or Not a Comedy. I'll name a movie.
Biodome.
Is Home Alone 2 a comedy or not a comedy?
That is a cautionary tale about neglectful parenting.
Is The Good Son a comedy or not a comedy?
Not
How about
a comedy.
Slapshot. No, Slapshot?
Comedy.
Okay.
Did I win?
Have you guys been to the movies lately? I know you've probably been too busy. The festival just started, so you probably haven't seen any things that are playing here. But John W., what was the last movie you saw?
Last movie in the theater. The other day, we did a double feature of a couple of Bill Murray movies on Bill Murray's birthday. We were trying to guilt him into coming, and it didn't work.
Man, it's your birthday. Yeah, that's what you said to him?
That was it.
It's your fucking birthday. You should go on a trip to us.
That was the entire...
On your birthday. What a special treat that's going to be for you.
The entire marketing campaign was entirely centered around guilting Bill Murray, and it didn't succeed. I did have a cardboard cutout of him, though. We played Lost in Translation and then followed it up with Nothing Lasts Forever. That's the unreleased movie that Chris has never heard of.
Never heard of that movie.
It's done by Tom Schiller in the early 80s.
It's in black and white.
That's right. Yeah.
How big is Bill Murray's part in that?
Only about 15 or 20 minutes. But, no. But Bill Murray had said, this is a movie that you guys should play at retrospectives of my work. Like, he actually really cares about it. And it rarely ever plays. It's not on video. It's not on streaming. Like, it's never actually gotten a real release.
Is it a comedy?
It is a comedy. There you go. Put that on the list.
But it's like, you know, remember Schiller's Reel on SNL? Whenever they go to that, it was like at the end of the show and it was in black and white, and you know, you'd go to sleep. You like wake up the next morning going, oh, I fell asleep during that stupid black and white thing. It's a whole feature film of
whole
that.
Whole feature film. Of that. Absolutely. Yeah. You can slumber throughout the entire
thing. It's whimsical and in black and white and has lots of SNL people in it.
It's got Zach Galligan, pre-Gremlins.
Oh,
yeah, guys, relax. apparently, he got high school credit for making it. He was like 18 or so.
That's nice.
And has a sex scene, so there you go. Good for you, Zach Galligan.
Does he fuck a gremlin? That might make this interesting.
In the sequel.
You got to be careful because you can't get a gremlin wet.
After midnight.
Boom!
Yeah, that
Gremlin
was nice.
Gremlin pussy!
That was nice. I'm
trying to get some jokes into some bitch.
John Erler, movie you've seen that you weren't interrupting, mocking?
I probably shouldn't admit this, but I watched Aloha the other night on Amazon.
On purpose?
I did. I'm a big Cameron Crowe fan, so I got to be a completist about it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess that's why I should see it. I think I've seen everything else he's done.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see how does she play Asian? Is she any good at Asian?
You talking about Emma Stone?
I'm talking about the woman with the largest eyes on the planet playing an Asian woman.
Who's supposedly, she's a quarter Chinese and a quarter Hawaiian in the movie, which is...
That's half Asian.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if Hawaiian counts as Asian. They're like Samoan or something.
Yeah, she's probably...
Samoan or something.
What? Who knows?
I don't even know how to have this conversation with you. If you I don't know what to say.
I know I look like the guy from Booyah Tribe. I get that. That's a deep cut for Samoan references.
That's good. It was good. If you like a Cameron Crowe movie, you'll like this one. That's my recommendation.
Interesting.
I like all this stuff. He's like a modern day Frank Capra. He's just like sweet and fun, and he always puts a good soundtrack on his movies because he used to work for Rolling Stone. And I like all this stuff, even if it's terrible. I liked I Bought a Zoo. I liked Elizabethtown. Shit, nobody's with me on any.
Wow, you're really
audible groaning
everybody out with this.
Like somebody just vomited in the third row. Elizabethtown. Have you actually seen it and didn't like it?
No.
No.
It's the only movie I've ever walked out of.
Jerry Maguire. Singles.
Are any of these comedies? What are we doing?
Yeah. I don't know.
Comedy.
Doug,
comedy.
Help me out.
Yeah, I can't help you out, buddy.
Shit.
Even when I go back and watch Almost Famous, it's one of my most cherished and almost equally hated movies, because just from line to line and scene to scene in that movie, there's things I think are brilliant and great and things that I think are just so awful, and they're like nails on a chalkboard.
What are the awful parts? Jimmy Fallon's character?
That's interesting that you'd say that. I don't mind Jimmy Callum.
He's actually really good as a slimy agent in that.
Yeah, I don't mind him because, he's slimy in it. I don't mind that. And it's funny, I just watched...
I thought you said slimy Asian. Yeah. And I was
half Asian. Yeah, he plays Emma Stone's uncle. Yeah. And I just saw a movie called Supermensch, The Legend of Shep Gordon.
That's cool.
And it turns out that he lived, it's his story that he tells everybody about being on a plane interview some band, and he wanted to manage some band, and so he was interviewing or something, but they were on a plane and that happened, and some guy confessed to fucking some other guy's wife or something. And but in the movie, it's like, you know, everybody in the plane makes a confession, and the crashing plane, it's plummeting long enough for each person to have their moment, and some are touching and some are hilarious, and then the plane levels off. And
so your problem is it took too long for the plane to not crash.
Just the whole sequence is just like, you know, any one of those things happening while they were crashing would have been pretty spectacular. It's like in James Bond card playing scenes, poker playing scenes, where somebody's got a full house, somebody's got four of a kind, somebody's got a straight flush, and he's got a royal flush. Same thing in Maverick, where it's just like, well, come on, you guys. Like, one good hand could have been one other good hand, but there's not going to be five. That never
so it's
happens.
Like a, it's a movie plane crash and not a real life plane crash.
Well, that's the thing about Almost Famous is that a lot of it feels very biographical and honest. There's a lot of real stuff in it.
That's probably why it's his best movie. Because he wrote from the heart on that one.
Maybe. Yeah. I dare say his best movie is Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah. Oh, but he didn't direct it. He just wrote
true.
It.
True.
Yeah.
I'm more of an Elizabethtown guy myself.
Oh.
You've got to be kidding me.
I have never heard of that movie
until
3 minutes ago.
Say Anything. I got to throw Say Anything.
No, I take it all back. Say Anything's the absolute Head and Shoulders best that he wrote and directed. That movie's nearly perfect, I'd say.
Yeah.
Even though Jeremy Piven is in it.
Not a fan of the Piv.
I love Jeremy Piven.
I'm a big
to be
Piv
honest
fan.
With you, I just knew it would get a laugh.
All right.
I always like to imagine that that Lloyd Dobler grows up to be Rob from High Fidelity. That's the progression of his life. You know, the guy with all the aspirations and the hopefulness, and just gets the shit beaten out of him in the 20s once she leaves him and becomes this awful, terrible guy.
You know the girl in Moonrise Kingdom?
I don't know her personally, no.
But you, can you picture her?
Sure. Yeah, oh yeah.
And how she behaved and what happened to her?
Absolutely.
In that movie? She grows up to be Lana Del Rey. Oh.
And
she really does. I'm not kidding around, you guys. Fucking Wes Anderson created time travel.
I can't argue with that logic.
Oh, that's great.
Would you see a movie lately, Chris?
I think a couple. I saw Call Me Lucky, the Barry Crimmins documentary.
Oh,
Bob
excellent. Bobcat Goldthwait directed
amazing.
That.
Has anybody seen it? Nobody?
Amazing it's
really
documentary.
Good. Yeah, about,
it's one of those documentaries where there's something new that kind of comes along in each act of the movie and each section of his life, and it's I did not know much of what happens in it, and it's very eye opening and also
and Bobcat Goldthwait is just a great documentary maker apparently, like documentarian, whatever the fucking word is, but like he made a really good movie.
He's really come along as a filmmaker. Like I love World's Greatest Dad, and
I like his movie. Yeah. I like his movie. This is his first documentary. Mm-hmm.
I think it might be his jam from now on.
Then I also saw Pixels, which might be the opposite of the movie we're talking about.
Wait, where is that playing on a double bill? Where can I go?
If you thought what happened to Barry Crimmins was bad, nobody's going to get that reference, but it's pretty funny. I saw Pixels. That was something. That existed. It's not as bad as I was expecting. But I think only because I went in expecting the worst thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's not that. But Peter Dinklage is really funny. And then they managed to cast another little person that looks exactly like Peter Dinklage to play young Peter Dinklage.
Really?
Like he might have a son. Like, he looks exactly like him.
You know, they can have children, you know.
People that are in Pixels are allowed to have children?
That's right. They have penises and vaginas just like everybody else, just like me and you.
Do they work?
I don't know. Any,
are we just going to get real in the house?
They better work, it, girl. All right, you guys. I know, weird transition.
I saw...
Oh, another one. Oh, you've got a lot of movies. Forget the games.
I saw that Vacation remake.
Oh.
That
pains somebody in the audience.
The right response.
Oh. That was an Elizabethtown response right there.
At one point in Pixels, Qbert pees himself because he's afraid, and like yellow pee, like pixels come out of him.
That's how little you have to say about Vacation as we're back on Pixels?
No, I was going to say that I kind of like, that is a better joke than anything that happens in the Vacation movie.
Ah, I see. Okay, you're using it to compare.
It's really
the
bad.
Vacation movie was strange to me because it was trying so hard to repeat the tone. It was like what they tried to do, and I think succeeded with the Fargo TV show, where they tried to take the tone of the original Fargo, but not the same story.
Exactly.
And they did a great job with that, maybe even improved on it in some ways. But the Vacation sort of does the same thing, but it's like shows where that can go bad. Because I like all those actors.
Sure.
But just watching him be all Clark Griswold frustrated all the time was just also a note that he played for the last seven seasons of The Office.
Right.
And I think Ed Helms is like so versatile and great at doing a lot of things. Sure. That, you know, that was also frustrating to see him doing that.
That's, yeah. I really
finally, a serious discussion of Vacation reboot.
I was going to say, that took a much more straightforward tone than I expected that conversation to take.
But was it a comedy?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was.
Oh, it wasn't?
I mean...
Kind of like RV, that wasn't
a
comedy.
In a way, like, if a tree falls in a forest and no one can hear it, if someone makes a comedy and no one laughs, is it a comedy?
There's always some...
Wow.
Just like just now when you said that, there's always somebody that'll laugh... at anything. It's just we all take turns. Everybody's got a comedy that none of their friends like, that they think is funny, and they don't know why everybody's not on board with it.
Yeah. You know? Ishtar.
That's a great example. There's a lot of people who really defend Ishtar.
It's a great movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people.
It's a great non-Cameron Crowe movie.
I think if they got different actors to play those parts, it could have been a great movie, but I just don't buy them. Warren Beatty trying to play a dumb guy.
Oh, he's great.
Doesn't work for me. It doesn't work. He just seems too smart all the time.
I can't argue with you because you're the host, but you're absolutely wrong about that.
When else did Warren Beatty successfully portray a dumb person? Or are you saying that this is an anomalisa and he's only done it the one time, but he still did it brilliantly?
I'm going to go with that one.
Okay. This is the part of the show where I say, let the games begin! And this is how shitty my phone is. Like, having it plugged in this entire time, it still hasn't even started to charge. I don't know why.
Oh, boy.
What to do differently to get that to change.
There's a little surgy protector on.
Well, it's just one game we're not going to be able to play, but I think we're running long anyway, so it's not going to be that big of a deal. But I still want my phone to work again someday. You know, like later today, I might want to check my messages.
Hypothetically.
It's just on that. It's just like saying a little bit of red, and then fuck you. That's as far as we're going to go.
Fuck you, man.
I even moved it into a different part. Oh, look at that. That means life, right?
Yeah.
The apple is life. Who's been eating my apple? They already took a bite out of my apple. All right, so pick your name tags, and while you do that, we'll do this. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you in part by our friends at DraftKings. Your season-long fantasy football team may be going strong, but you don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test every week this season at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Got an injured player? No problem. It's like a new season every week, so you're never stuck with the same players. And get this. DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season. You could turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Just pick your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. Believe me, you've never experienced football like this before. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use the promo code MOVIE to play for free for a shot at $1 million in this week's Millionaire Maker event. Enter MOVIE for free entry now. Only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Beetlejuice. DraftKings.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back.
We're back.
Yeah, woo. John W. Smith, who are you playing for?
Chris. He has a name tag that says Metropochris.
Yeah, I saw that one at the top of the show. It's very good. Creative. Very creative.
Very creative.
Nicely done. John Erler.
I picked the biggest, sparkliest one. It says, "Dude, where's my Carla?"
Another one that I cited at the top of the show, nicely picked. And this one is pretty cool. This is it's a 3D name tag.
Yeah, it's Piranha 3D, but it says Peraro 3D. Is that your name?
That's your last name, Peraro?
Last name is Peraro, okay. And it's like got a fucking piranha coming, sticking through it, like a rubber piranha.
And he's in the. You can see it in the back too. It's a male one.
It's
it's
a real one.
It's like a lacquered piranha.
It's 80.
Holy shit! Those things are fucking evil. Can you see its face?
It's yeah. They're fucking scary looking, man.
It's 80% more 3D behind it, actually.
Yeah, it's great. I like it a lot.
I bet you piranhas are biting their own tongues a lot. Because they're just so. Just be hard not to do that. Can we get another drink for Mr. Cubis?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank
you. It's all good. Love that name tag, Miss Pirano. Good.
Piraro.
Piraro.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I do.
You said it's real, though. It's funny that I would go, it's male? Like, what does that have to do with, what does that have to do with anything? Why would she yell that out?
It's a male piranha.
Does it have a dick?
All right, you guys. We're going to play a few games, and it looks like my phone is getting somewhere, so maybe we'll get to play some Reverse Malton. Mm-hmm. But let's start with something I like to call, how much did this shit make? Uh-huh. I'll name a movie, and then each of you guys have to guess how much money that movie made at the domestic box office in millions without going over. And it's this isn't like a shitty movie. This is one of my favorite Austin movies and one of my favorite weed movies, which you could pretty much say any Austin movie is probably. I'm having trouble thinking one now that I guess Bernie isn't really a weed movie, even though it sounds like Bernie sounds like should be about a guy who.
If you want to get the tax credit, it has to have a weed scene.
Yeah, there you go. And but this movie wasn't a hit at the box office, which I thought was a shame at the time and to this day. How much, according to boxofficemojo.com, did Dazed and Confused make? And we'll start with Chris. How much do you think Dazed and Confused made at the North American box office during its entire theatrical run of a few days?
I'm going to say $18 million.
Maybe a week. $18 million. That's not a good amount.
Okay. Thanks, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ms. Ferraro, but not off to a good start.
No, not a lot of money. $18 million is not a lot of money.
Yeah,
so, you know,
for a movie. I'd be cool.
Yeah.
Like half that.
John?
I'm going to go lower than that for no particular reason other than that I really can't go higher.
And he was an executive producer on Dazed and Confused.
He's burnt by it.
They might not even know, though, you know? Like, sometimes these numbers, nobody looks.
I'm going to say $11
million. Okay.
Yeah.
John W.?
I'm feeling it. I'm going to bid $1, Bob.
Always a smart play in this place. In this case, it really, and in this place that we're at right now, the highball, it really paid off because it only made $7.9 million. Oh. So close, John. John E. That just sounds like I'm calling you Johnny.
I'll take it.
John E.
Johnny.
So John W. wins the first game, and that means he has to go first in this next game, the treacherous. And... difficult. build a tie.
Yes!
Ooh.
I love this game.
Chris loves it. Some audience members love it. Others are completely baffled by it.
I love it as a fan.
And what its appeal is. And let's keep it rolling. Let's do the same movie. Let's start building a title off of Austin's own Dazed and Confused. So you have to, John, you have
school
to come up with...
School Dazed and Confused.
School Dazed and Confused. I didn't even have to explain it to him, you guys.
Yep.
He just jumped right in. I was going to... I was pre-guess, and I was going to say Father's Dazed and Confused. Yeah, and on top of that, then you could say In the Name of the Father's Dazed and Confused. But anyway, that's an alternate sliding doors Gwyneth Paltrow situation.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's not what's really happening right now. We have to go to John Erler.
Sam Levine shit you just pulled right there.
Right. John?
I'm going to say Back to School Dazed and Confused.
Yep, you just pulled a triple Lindy on that one.
Yeah.
Chris?
I'm going to say Back to School Dazed and Confused Cars.
Yes, that's exactly what I pre-guessed. Confused Cars, which I would love to see that. The third in the trilogy of Cars films takes place in a mental ward for cars. All right, we've got Back to School Dazed and Confused Cars.
We're back to school dazed and confused cars.
We're back?
The dinosaur movie. Yeah.
Okay.
The animated dinosaur movie.
That was the whole title, or it was We're Back, colon, the dinosaur movie?
I think it was the latter.
What?
Definitely the latter. I don't think that's
Shut
a legal
the
title.
Up.
You think it's called We're Back is the name of
we're
the movie?
We're Back, exclamation point.
That's the whole name of the movie.
That's the whole name of the movie.
That can't possibly be true.
That's it.
Is it?
Okay, one guy's
we got a guy confirming
up.
It. This he doesn't guy. Look like he has Beard. Children, so don't believe him.
We he looks like he spends a lot of time around children, though.
It's just called We're Back.
Illegally.
That, all right.
Is the apostrophe there?
All right.
I want this to be clean.
Yeah, no.
I remember it.
You do?
Don't worry about the apostrophe.
Never
John, did. You got to have something that ends with we, or we're, or begins with cars.
That new Grateful Dead movie focused on Peter Weir, and it was just called Peter Weir, I think. So Peter Weir back,
I think
et cetera.
What? Yeah. That was just called Peter Weir?
Yeah.
There's called, no way.
Yeah.
You can John Carter, Larry Crown, Peter Weir.
That's right. Peter Weir.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not right,
all right,
though.
That can't possibly
that's a
be
lie,
true
right?
either.
That's a lie, though, right?
I think he just made We're that
not,
up.
You're not going to just let him have that.
I think I am going to let him have
shit.
It.
Shit.
Oh, shit. There's no reason to throw glasses around, Chris.
Shit.
So I can just make up a movie with Peter in it then? Is that where?
We'll see when it's your turn if I agree
it's
with what
turn,
you make
right
up.
It's my turn, right?
Okay, go.
Okay, shit. You said
something that ends in Peter or begins with...
Cars.
Cars, yeah.
Cars. Car. Ooh, boy. Ends in P? P? Pete? Carson City.
See, that's...
That's definitely a movie. That's tell way us, more... I
tell
promise
us about
you there's
the film.
Way more of a movie
what's,
than fucking
tell
Peter
me,
Weir
what's Carson
in.
City Tell me about the film Carson City.
That's
what
a
happens
fucking Western
it?
That takes place in Carson City.
That's a movie I want to see.
It exists, I promise you.
Who do you think's in it?
Jimmy Stewart?
Uh-huh. Go on.
And Carson Daly.
Oh, he's great. He's great in it.
He's very young.
Yeah.
He's a very young Carson Daly. If you're looking up Carson City, you better also look up fucking Peter Weir. I promise you that.
Carson City from 1952, starring Randolph Scott. Opposing forces clash when construction engineer Scott commences building a railroad through Nevada in the 1870s.
Yeah. Oh, a Western.
Okay of its type. What kind of sentence is that? Okay of its type.
Wait, is Carson Daly in that?
No, but Raymond Massey is in it.
Okay. Yeah, I thought he said the Carson Daly had to be in
Peter
it.
Is Peter Weir in the movie that doesn't exist?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've always
no,
said
I'm looking
Carson
up Weir back first. I'm starting at the...
Oh, the correct. I like a live corrections department.
As long as we got this out and we're looking up shit.
I don't like a live corrections department.
Yeah, it's called
department.
We're Back, a Dinosaur Story, motherfuckers.
Oh, well.
I feel like I'm the only one who's named only movies that exist.
I don't know. I can't wait to see what it says for Peter Weir. No results.
Yeah. It just says 404, page not found in IMDb.
How long ago was this Peter Weir movie
It came out this year. There's an apostrophe in there, which you're probably not putting in your search.
Right. No, it's
Peter Weir, A Dinosaur's Tale.
Thank you. So this whole game is built on lies, basically.
John W. needs a... Oh, you want a shot of what?
Jameson to celebrate my victory.
Oh, that's a fun way to do it.
Shit.
Also, can we keep... I'm cool if we just keep... Oh, I don't know. We have time.
Huh?
I would keep playing Build-A-Title. I love that movie.
Well, we're going. Okay, Carson good. City kept us going. Kept us alive.
That was fast.
So you need something that ends with Pete or begins with City. John.
Okay, so what's the full title so far?
Peter, We're Back. So, two lies right up top.
Perfect.
Two school days and confused cars on the city.
Of lost children.
Oh, okay. John?
Ren and Stimpy, the movie. There was a big
Ren and Stimpy,
lost
the movie,
children
Peter?
And Stimpy.
Ren and children and Stimpy.
But your turn is called Ren and Stimpy. Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a Ren and Stimpy.
I don't
movie.
Think there has.
Yeah. So
well, that's a
that's
tragedy.
More of, it's more of a yeah. That's more of a wish than right, a than a correct answer.
Okay, that was my joke answer. My real answer.
That's what?
Children of a
this
lesser god.
This is fucking anarchy.
Children of a lesser god. I'll take that.
Check on the rules. Thus don't count, right?
Yeah, you just dropped those.
Cool. Peter Weir, Back to School, Dazed and Confused, Carson City of Lost Children of a Lesser Gods Must Be Crazy.
And the softball lobs over to Mr. Smith.
Oh, okay.
A
yeah.
movie that begins with crazy.
All right. So it's Peter Weir Back.
I like how they think they have to say the whole thing again.
No, it's just fun.
It's the fun part. Back to School, Dazed and Confused, Cars,
Uncity.
And City of Lost
Cars
Children.
Cars and City.
Ugh. Cars and the City.
Children of
Lesser
God. Of Lesser Gods Must Be Crazy Heart.
Yes. Crazy Heart. That's another softball, I think. John. Uh-oh. Yeah.
So the title, full title again is what?
Are you ready for it? Here we go.
Yeah.
And
Gods Must Be Crazy Heart.
Heart or
so they made a heart-to-heart movie. It's just
no.
A
TV. Oh, no.
Stephanie
heart
Powers.
Heart movie.
Robert Wagner.
There's so many to choose from.
So he's out, right?
He's out, yes.
All right.
Yes.
Heart of the City.
Crazy heart condition.
Condition?
Heart condition.
I like it, yeah. It's a real movie.
That's a real movie.
Is it?
Who's in heart
Richard
condition?
Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor.
Shit.
Yeah, we don't really need to say anybody else. I don't know if I could think of... And Harvey Keitel. Can you think of anything that begins with condition? John? There was that documentary that looked into the world of conditioners and shampoos.
Conditioncle Buck.
Conditioncle Buck?
Does that work?
Conditioncle Buck?
Conditioncle
Buck.
Conditioncle Buck.
Conditioncle Buck.
Yeah.
Shuncle Buck.
Thank you. Glad I have your approval. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Gee, I wonder what Chris is going to say with Buck. You don't have one?
Not off the top of my head.
Movie that begins with Buck?
Hold on.
Yeah, you know it.
Could end in Peter.
A conditioncle Buck.
That guy at the bar decided to tell you. Where'd you come from?
I'm sorry he said it, but I do love that movie.
He's looking around like, I didn't do it. Why don't you go sit in the back? No, seriously. Don't spin around in your chair. Just go in the back somewhere. Because you said it quietly, but loudly for us to hear you.
Mark. I mean, I'm just going to take it.
Just pay your bill.
Oh, fuck, but I don't have it. I don't have it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I don't have the whole title. Go. I don't have the whole title.
Okay.
So Buckaroo Banzai's not helping me because I don't have the whole...
Oh, it didn't help. You didn't.
Oh, maybe I do. I'm just going to say it. Buckaroo Banzai across the eighth dimension?
The fact that guy said it, I'm not going to give it to you.
Okay, well, then I'll do... But, okay, was that right?
You got a different one.
Okay, maybe.
I think you're close, right? He was close. Huh?
Shh.
Yeah, Buckaroo Banzai across the eighth dimension. That's what it was called? I thought it was like more words than that. I believe there are more words.
There's a lot of words in that.
Yeah, it's like his adventure in the eighth dimension or something like that.
I don't think so, but whatever. Buck. Hmm.
I'll look it up, motherfuckers.
Hold on. Fuck that one. Conditioncle Buck Company of Men. If you can get out of his, I can get kuh at the end of mine.
No, but also you're the one that agreed with his at the end of there. I didn't know you were setting it up so you could get a kuh.
Yeah, Chris, it was a group decision. You were fine with it.
Yeah.
What was your...
I'm looking up Buckaroo Banzai.
What is it?
Oh, yeah. Also, it doesn't start with Buck. It's the adventures of Buckaroo Banzai across the eighth dimension.
Yeah, okay.
So that didn't help anyway, the guy that tried to help. So
but yeah, Buck Company
I'm sorry
of
I
men.
Made you move.
Uncle Buck Company of Men.
Yeah, no, I'm not accepting that.
But why not? It actually makes sense.
But his intent...
Doesn't make sense to me at all.
Yeah. His intention was malicious, so he should still be banned.
Buck Company of Men.
Yeah, you
can I add one?
With,
all right.
You know what I mean.
I got you.
Yeah. What about that, John?
Uncle Buck Rogers.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm sure
that was a movie, right?
What did you have that was Buck that you thought you had?
I didn't have one.
Oh, okay.
I thought I had one, but then I lost it. I mean, it wasn't right. You know what I mean? Like, you'll think, I got it, that's the second word.
Yeah. I got one.
Oh, okay.
Oh. So you're back in?
Yeah.
Fucking this rule.
This the weirdest game
this
ever.
This is like the Republican debates. Everyone's just yelling at each other. I was kind of racist earlier. Everything makes sense.
What's yours, John? This is just for fun. This game ended 20 minutes ago.
You already won.
Just for fun. The bucket list.
Yeah.
Yeah, bucket list.
Sense.
Yeah, for sure. That's it.
Terrific. Just for fun.
Just for fun.
That was a good one.
Listo de Schindler. That's the Spanish title. Can we play Spanish titles?
All right, let's play a round of Last Man Standing.
Yes!
Let's quit fucking around.
Let's do it. Maybe I get a vodka tonic.
Oh, is that what you want now?
Yeah.
Have you ordered a different kind of beverage each time?
No, it's been vodka tonics and then just one shot.
Oh, okay. What kind of vodka are you drinking?
Really?
Yeah, we'll give you a top shelf Tito's situation. Just get him some Tito's. That's all. Thank you, man.
I'm a well kind of dude.
Yeah. Well, let's have a round of applause. They worked so hard during the festival for the whole staff. Yeah. Everybody works at the Highball.
He says worked harder than anybody else.
Yeah, they're just swamped the entire time. So I appreciate the hard work that they do. And does anybody? I think the first three or four rows are my. Folks that live here in town that just came down and crashed the festival to join us here today. Thank you for doing that. So, in fact...
This guy's really eager.
Is he? I didn't notice.
Yeah, he's been doing this.
He's fired up. You got a good name for Last Man Standing?
Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good name, but also a troubling name. Paul Giamatti. Okay. Right? It's like you certainly could think of some, but he's...
Yeah, for sure.
He's one of them actors. So the idea is we're going to each take turn on stage only saying Paul Giamatti films that he was in or had something to do with, and then if you can't think of one, you're out. I'm not feeling confident, but we start down there with you, John.
I'll go for the most recent one, Straight Outta Compton.
Sure.
Okay. I'm next, so I like to play in this game. Thank you. So I might as well just knock these out right away, because if you have a band, you should not hire him to manage you. because he will fuck you in so many different ways, emotionally, financially, love and mercy, love and mercy. Yep. Chris.
Confidence.
Okay. I don't really care how you feel at this point of the game.
No, the movie.
I just want to know the name of a film.
I named it.
That features Paul.
It's called Confidence. Okay. Stars Rachel Weisz, Ed Burns, Dustin Hoffman.
Somebody gave us Rachel Weisz as a name for this game one time, mm-hmm. and I beat them with my microphone until they were dead. Sure. John?
Gonna go for Sideways.
Oh, that's my favorite. Giamatti performance.
American.
Someone just went, ugh. Well, yeah, he wasn't the most lovable guy to be around, but he sure was good.
American Splendor.
Mm-hmm. That's my absolute favorite of all the Giamatti performances. And not Academy Award nominated, which was just stunning to me. I just saw him the other night. We did an interruption out in L.A. of San Andreas.
Ooh.
San Andreas. He has the immortal line, get out of the desk! All right. John W.
American Splendor.
He said American Splendor.
Oh, wait.
He said American
Splendor. Oh, so now it's on Chris.
No, it's on you.
I just said it. San Andreas.
San Andreas, right. So it's on me. Shoot 'em up.
Shoot 'em up, yes. Ooh. Very tongue-in-cheek, that movie.
I like that movie.
Yeah, that's how people have to say it.
I'm a little defensive, but yeah.
I liked it. Come on.
It's fun, and I got a man crush on fucking Clive Owen, so
yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, he's good. I like that guy. Croupier.
Sure.
If you haven't seen that.
Paul Giamatti is not in that movie.
No. John?
I'm going to go for an obvious one, the Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Why is that obvious?
Your turn, John Smith. No, it's on you, man.
Thanks, John.
Sorry,
Miller.
I stole a good one from you.
That was the one on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, he played Cindy Lou Who in that
one. He sure did. Yep, he sure did.
Okay, so John Erler's out.
Probably the first one, at least I'd ever heard of him in, Private Parts.
Yes.
On Netflix right now, actually.
Pig Vomit, that's
Pig
right.
Pig Vomit.
Yes, okay. I'll go with one of his early hits and say Big Fat Liar.
God damn it, that's the one I was sitting on. I had that in my back pocket. Okay. Paul Giamatti.
This should not be this difficult. He's got at least 20 more movies. I can't think of another
fantastic
one.
Fantastic actor.
Yeah.
John Adams.
Always terrific.
That's not me naming a thing. I'm just making sure I'm talking about the right actor. Paul Giamatti. You might. By the way, we never went through the prize bag.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I never got the prizes from you guys, so I'll get them as soon as we do finish this
round. Paul Giamatti is an actor who starred in a film you know and love called... Fuck it, I got nothing. I'm out.
Oh, he's out.
I got nothing.
John W.
Mission Impossible 3.
No, that's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He's not in that.
That's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Come on. I ran out.
Really?
I'm out. Oh, wow.
Indeed. Oh, wow, indeed.
Sorry.
He's in Lincoln.
Oh, yeah. I never saw Lincoln.
That's right.
Yeah. What did we miss, you guys? Lady in the Water.
All right.
12 Years a Slave.
All right.
Lady in the Water. You keep naming movies with slaves in them. I don't watch those.
He doesn't watch those.
Do what?
He's in Big Mama's House. John dies
at the
end.
I do like that movie. Shit.
I like how when
Cinderella Man. Planet of the Apes. Of course. I didn't recognize him.
Excuse me. That was a CGI monkey. That wasn't Paul Giamatti.
They're
easily confused, but that was just a CGI monkey.
I like how when I said Mission Impossible 3, like 20 people.
It almost flew.
They all agreed with me. Like, yeah.
They have a Bill Paxton, Bill Pullman thing.
Absolutely.
With Philip Seymour Hoffman
and
that's going to happen a lot less.
Yeah.
What?
No, fuck you, Groaners. That was a great joke.
Thank you.
Good work.
But he's so dead. John Smith lasted the longest, so he's our winner of that game. And
thank you.
Real quick, tell me what you brought for the prize bag.
I, thanks to the very nice folks at Transmission Entertainment, have 2 3-day passes to Fun
Fest. Neato. I'm going to be there.
You're going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
I'm going to be there. Come see Wu-Tang Clan and fucking Cheap Trick and D'Angelo and all kinds of awesome shit.
Cool.
Tignataro. It's a great fucking lineup.
It's going to be awesome.
So whoever
Andrew WK is going to be there. I heard he might be partying.
Whoever. Maybe. Whoever wins, just find me after the show because I got your information.
Well.
Yeah. Go find him after the show.
Yeah, make us look like pieces of shit after this.
The best way to get his attention is...
Did you bring a hat or an old shirt or something?
What?
I'm looking in that bag.
Yeah,
I don't know. Whose bag is this?
I've got the HEB bag. John, what do you got?
What's all this stuff in the HEB bag?
That's my stuff.
But how much stuff did you bring?
A ton. I just threw some shit. That's Tommy.
What?
Tommy Wiseau from The Room, he gave me that underwear, and I'm like, thanks. I had an extra pair. That's an original program from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Jesus.
That is, that's the official Bats magazine. From the Bat Conservation Organization. It's the winter issue. A lot of great bat stuff. That's from Chameleon Coffee. That's a...
It's a big bottle of the same stuff I brought a little bottle of.
That's right, motherfucker.
I'm going to steal that.
Delicious. It's really good stuff.
That's just like $10. I'm stealing that.
I got paid $2,000 for that.
Oh, hang on. I'm getting a call.
I was basically...
It's the call saying ignore the rest of the stuff in this bag.
Basically, yeah. I brought a landline phone.
You brought a landline phone.
I'm never going to use it again.
The fuck?
So there's that. That's right.
He just brought a landline phone.
Yeah,
I'd say we do a tribute to Office Space and smash it right in front of everybody.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Do it. Do that shit. I don't care.
I'll play Ghetto Boys and everything. Let's do this.
Some Mr. T cereal, another Austin favorite.
Yes, sir. What else we got?
Die, motherfucker. Die,
tickets,
motherfucker.
Tickets to do something.
No, just some Alamo Draft House passes.
Yeah.
Alamo Draft House food and beverage.
Yeah, food and beverage for how much?
And a bumper sticker. $10.
$10,
guys.
Food and beverage.
Right. It's 3/4 of a pizza.
It's like 2 drinks.
Yeah.
So John Smith brought all that stuff, you guys.
A lot of garbage, guys. Good garbage, though.
And John, earlier, what'd you bring?
I brought 2 things. I like to keep it a little more condensed than some people. I brought a hat, a Donald Trump-style hat honoring our small-town neighbors to the north that says, make Pflugerville great again.
Yeah. Good old Pflugerville.
And I brought something that I'm going to let you open, Doug.
Oh.
We just finished a run of Raiders of the Lost Ark. I bought some of these.
Don't open that!
There's a tiny clock bomb in there.
Oh, man. It's the German guy, like, as he's about to melt in a cute little doll form.
It's actually,
like an award.
Doug, it's actually a candle. You can see the wick at
the top. Oh, it's a candle?
So he
actually melts.
You can actually melt the
awesome.
Dude.
Awesome.
That's great.
He melts
great.
Just like he does in the movie.
I thought it was like an award.
No, what a terrible award that would be.
Yeah.
You are the most Nazi person on this stage. It's a Toth. His character's name is Toth.
I could not see anyone else enjoying this gift more, so I gave it to you. That's a pretty awesome gift you got there.
Yeah.
And so somebody's going to win all that stuff after we play one more game. And also, I guess maybe at the end of the show, we'll smash that phone.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like a real Tim League thing to do. It's just smashed the shit out of that phone.
He does have anger problems.
Oh, and by the way, condolences to Tim League's family. He perished this week when he tried to shoot hogs out of a helicopter.
Oh, shit.
He fell to his death.
Shh.
But we're going ahead with the festival anyway.
Yeah.
We got a hologram. We got a hologram Tim League introducing some of the films and talking to some of the filmmakers. He does a great job.
Yeah, he goes absolutely hog wild. Yeah, what are you going to do? Oh, fuck you and your booze.
Wait, booze or booze?
Oh, no,
both.
Plural.
Both,
multiple
much.
Boo.
Yeah, you do a show at happy hour, people are going to get drunk and then boo.
Yeah, just, I'm going to get drunk
just what's
and then
boo happen.
Myself.
Yeah. All right, so this is going to be a winner-take-all round of...
One round?
What? We got running out of time, guys.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Got to keep a tight show. How many cocktails do we have at your feet?
Not enough.
Three?
Tearing it up.
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta make sure they get their big giant bottle.
To cold brew.
This is the kind of thing that's really fun to carry around for the rest of the night. if you're the winner, it's nice and heavy. It's damp, like it feels like it might be leaking.
My girlfriend is in the audience and is motioning for me to steal that bottle of Chameleon Cold Brew.
You guys like that stuff?
She's
awesome.
Okay, it's yours.
She's damp and possibly leaking.
There you go.
Cold.
And it's cold.
It's legitimately cold. It's awesome.
Yeah, now somebody doesn't have to carry that around.
This guy does.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that one bit. All right. Well, do you guys think we can play really fast?
Yeah, we got this.
Let's go really fast. Let's play first person to 2 points in reverse Malton.
Cool. Yeah.
And John won that last game. And what order were we going in when John won that game?
We went John, you, me.
Okay, so we'll go John.
Okay.
John, Chris.
John. As we do.
John, Chris.
It's our sex position.
That's right.
I'll give you three films.
That's a horrific human centipede. Like worse than a regular human centipede.
I'll give you three films, John W., uh-huh. And then you tell me which one you think you know the most actors from. I'll tell you how many Leonard lists in his app, mm-hmm. And then you go ahead and bid how many you can name, and then the bidding proceeds from there.
Okay.
And so be ready, John. Early.
I'm ready.
Which one of these three films? Beetlejuice? Just wanted to see if Michael Keaton would suddenly appear.
Yeah, yeah.
Batman?
Mm-hmm.
Beetlejuice, Batman, or Batman Returns? Which one of those? And I believe I've already given you one of the names.
That's true.
So how many do you think, which one do you think you know the most names in?
These are all fun. All right, I'm going to go with Batman Returns.
Okay.
Oh.
Some people are excited about that. From 1992, and Leonard lists 12 names.
Okay.
So how many out of the 12 that Leonard lists, you don't have to say them in order, but you just got to rattle them off. How many of those 12 do you think you could name?
I'm going to bid one.
He says the one name. So John Erler needs to be able to come up with more than one or challenge.
I am not going to challenge.
Be a man.
You know, I think it's a respectable option to challenge him to name that one person. It's
certainly not. The one person you already named?
Well, could be. He could name one of the others.
I don't think so. And knowing what I know of John Smith, I'm definitely not going to challenge him on one name. So I'm going to go with two.
He says two names, mm-hmm. Chris. Can you name
with,
three of these white people?
I'm going to go with four names.
Bam-tastic.
I'll go with five names.
Now we're talking. Now some serious bidding going on.
I'm going to go with six names.
Six names from Batman Returneth.
And I'm going to say David.
Okay. So you got to name six of these suckers. John.
When?
Right now.
Shit.
No, it wasn't. The game isn't that you have to come up with it at some point in your lifetime.
Okay. Michael Keaton.
Yes.
Michelle Pfeiffer. Danny DeVito. The guy who plays Commissioner Gordon.
God damn it.
This is not a Peter Weir situation. I'm going to need real names.
Chris O'Donnell's so good as Robin in this one. It's his debut as the Boy Wonder.
Wrong movie.
Carson Daly makes a magnificent appearance as the pre-Riddler.
The Priddler?
The Priddler. They call him the Priddler.
It's great. He's just always just about to ask a question.
Pre-Riddler really made me laugh.
All right, so Chris Cubis has a point.
So the four, Keaton, Pfeiffer, DeVito, Walken. Who's your fifth?
Pat Hingle.
Yes.
Commissioner Gordon. Michael Goff.
Ah, yeah.
Michael Goff was Alfred.
I think there was at least one more.
Sucks that you don't get a point for that.
Yeah, it really kind of is.
Who was...
It was basically three movies.
Me and you, Ferraro. Me and you.
Who was one of the Penguin's parents that said him adrift? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. And Paul Rubens.
Paul
absolutely.
Rubens, yep. Yeah.
Oh, that was the other one.
Nice.
Vincent Schiavelli, Jan Hooks.
And whoever played Simone from Pee Wee. I can't remember her name.
But right, she's not on the list, but yeah, she's probably in there too. The mother of the weird penguin baby.
The other.
We got to get rid of this weird penguin baby. All right.
It's a real Sophie's Choice.
Yeah.
I tried to bring it
get
back.
Get rid of it or keep it.
The beginning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Simone's Choice.
So let's start with who challenged who?
I challenged John earlier.
Yeah. So we'll start with John W. and then go to all Chris. Right. And you get to pick between Mallrats. Oh, where's this going? Chasing Amy? Are we still wondering? Or Dogma? Which one of those do you think you can name more peoples from?
Amy, Mallrats.
I think the most people of all time were in Dogma, so I'm going to go with that.
Is this me picking or John?
Yeah, it's John W. Gets to pick.
Sorry.
Mallrats.
Okay.
Shit.
I don't know anything about Mallrats, and I know everything about Dogma.
That's, yeah.
Mallrats, the classic from 1995, gets 12 names listed by Leonard. How many do you think you can name?
Me?
JWS.
One name.
It's always an interesting opening bid interesting that you like to give. Then we go to Chris.
It goes to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm drinking his milkshake. I know where he's going. I'm going two names.
Okay.
Surprising.
I get your fucking strategy.
It's not a bad strategy.
No, it's a good strategy. It just depends on what the wild card over here does. Mm-hmm.
All right, well.
You mean the pre-Riddler?
It's Priddler.
John, what do you got?
I'm going to say three names.
He says three, John.
I'll do four.
I'll do five.
This is great.
Tension.
I'm going to let you do five.
Okay.
Oh, okay, for the win, getting us out almost on time even.
God damn it.
Five names from Mallrats.
Jason Mewes, Kevin Smith, Michael Rooker, Jason Lee, Ben Affleck.
Oh. Yes, nailed it. Could probably go deeper. How much deeper can you go?
Shannon Doherty.
Claire Forlani.
Which London?
Jeremy, Jason London.
No,
Jeremy
it's
London?
Jeremy.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I guess who didn't have to go any deeper than five?
Yeah.
Me and Miss Peraro right here.
Ethan Suplee.
Sure.
Joey Lauren Adams, Priscilla Barnes, of course, with
the three nipples.
Three nipples, I mean. Three tits, three nipples. All right, that means Chris Cubis is our winner. Woo!
Enjoy your landline phone, Miss Peraro. Oh, we're going to smash the shit out of that. I forgot. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Do it.
Die, motherfucker, die, fool.
Uh-oh, Chris is getting in there.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Oh, shit!
Oh!
Oh, no, don't! Oh, shit.
Watch your
eyes, everybody. Small parts.
My mom gave me that phone.
That was violent. That was really fantastic fest style. Day two, shit's already getting violent. You should be in the boxing match later tonight, I think.
No, I only like hitting things. I don't like getting hit back.
Okay. Miss, I got to look at it again. Peraro. Come get your prizes.
Go get your prize bag.
You get all this stuff. We put it in two bags, so it should be easy to carry it around. And I'm sorry about your phone.
You want to take that with you?
There's a couple good AA batteries coming out.
Don't miss the battery.
There's like three or four AA's
still working.
You can put that in your Walkman that you can use with your landline phone.
Let's do some plugs. DouglasMovies.com for me. Chris Cubis, what do you got coming up?
If you're in Oklahoma City, I am there on the 30th at the Will Rogers Theater. So come out to that. It's going to be fun. And listen to Canceled, my podcast, where we watch TV shows that only lasted one season. We're in the middle of Studio 60, which is horrific. And we're going to start The Lone Gunman, the X-Files spinoff, in a couple weeks. So come out or don't come out. It's just an iTunes thing. You don't have to come to it. But yeah, do that.
Chris Cubis, everybody.
Yeah.
I was just sitting here trying to read this shithead. I want to make sure I get it right for the end. John Erler, what's going on with the Panakeku? Master Pancake Show's coming up this weekend. Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park this weekend. Next weekend we start The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek II. We do that for 3 weekends, and then we do The Sound of Music, featuring our very special guest star, Mary Jo Peel, from the original Mystery Science Theater 3000.
That's awesome.
That'll be October 23rd and 24th. And then, we're going to do Halloween for Halloween.
Ooh.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that should be fun. There's lots of kind of parts you can talk during.
Are you saying it's a very quiet movie?
It is. It's not very chatty at all.
Yes. That's
a lot
true.
Of John Carpenter just wailing on his synth.
the Coupe de Villes is the name of his band.
And it's three notes, too. It's only three notes.
Bing,
the
bong,
entire
bong,
film.
Bing, bong, bong, bing, bong, bing, bong, bing, bong, bong, bing, bong, bong, bing, bong, bing, bong.
Atmosphere.
And John W. Smith.
I'm also in the Master Pancake Wrath of Khan show.
Oh, yeah.
Get out there, motherfucker.
Nice. Yeah, you it's sit great. In with those guys all the time. You're a Master Moto Panakeko.
Is a.
Moto Panakeko!
Awesome fucking show. Yes. We did.
He sat in on Superman 4 the other day. That was a super fun show.
Yes. We had Superman 4 with guys, Mark Pillow. We dug. It was a pillow-thon. We had Mark Pillow, the original Nuclear Man from Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. A lot of people have wondered if he was still alive, and we found him, and he's very healthy, and he is a pervert. No, he's not a pervert. He's a family man, but he got awfully handsy in the skit. With some people. We do Geek Your Drink here on Wednesday nights. They do it all over the country. Also, the Alamo Draft House. We show movies just about every day. So,
yeah.
I do our Twitter and Facebooks and whatnot, so follow us and whatnot.
Thank you very much.
We're going to be in L.A. and San Francisco in the next. Actually, San Francisco later on this year.
Oh, great.
And
that's
Brooklyn
awesome.
Next year.
Well, look for them, you guys. Let's hear it one more time for all my guests. John W. Smith, John Erler, Chris Cubis. For the people listening and the folks here that snuck in, both of my shows next Wednesday fall under the back half passes here at the festival, plus there's a standby line. So come see me interrupt Roar, the most fucked up movie ever. And also come see Chronicon, also a pretty fucked up thing, because it was just me fucked up at Comic-Con and we filmed it, and somehow people enjoy watching it. And thank you to everybody who came out to the highball and the highball for having us. Keith left when he didn't get his name tag picked, and he just like took off. He's like, fuck this. I know you have things to do. I just wanted to mention you again, Ruckus Cafe. And as always, the People's Front of Judea is a shithead.
What?
That's an intense one.
Is that about
one.
The Pope? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I should say that. I'm
gonna that's
get,
for Monty
Python. Yeah. You're going to have to apologize.
I'm going to get in trouble with the People's Front of Judea. And then everyone running for the GOP presidential nomination is a shithead.
Once again, today's episode of Doug Loves Movies is brought to you by DraftKings. 1 week fantasy football at DraftKings means every moment of every game could take you closer to a life-changing payday. Play when you want and pick a new team every time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use the promo code MOVIE and play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy contest. Only at DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com.
Another talkie, eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky.